listening to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can in the situation room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shut up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Good morning, good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Listen, you be glad this morning, because God is up to something great in your life. I said God is up to something great. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. But all I know is that God is up to something great. Did you hear me? God is up to something great. Listen, listen. This is the first day of the best day of your life. Did you hear what I said? This is the first day of the best day. In other words, from this point on, things can get better. Things can get better. In other words, I don't care what happened yesterday, this can be the turnaround. This can be the turnaround. Listen, you got to think positive. You can't be going around thinking negative. You got to start thinking positive. Yeah, that this is it. This is the day. All right, you getting your makeup on. You're getting your wig on and stuff. Listen, you got to start thinking positive. You looking good. Yes, you are. You're looking good this morning. Now, you dressing up the outside. Now, dress up that inside. Yeah, go on and dress up that inside. And regardless what anybody say, listen, don't let nothing they say get you down. Listen, it needs to, whatever they say, reflect it. Just like water running off a duck back. That's what you let happen to you. You just let it run off your back. Just like a duck let it water run off its back. You let that water, that negativism run off your back. All right, don't you hold on to it. You reflect it. You reflect it. You reflect it. All right. All right, listen, we got a wonderful program for you today. Today is the day that we focus in on our hot topic. Yeah, we got a hot topic today. And but before I give out the hot topic, we want to give some contact information just in case you have a hot topic or marriage question. Question pertaining to the Christian life, Bible question, or question about Sunday school, you can email me at BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. And then, or you can call me at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Our hot topic is to be discussed today is how to protect your church in light of gay marriages, how to protect your church in light of gay marriages. You know, back here in June, the Supreme Court, they voted regarding gay marriages to make it legal. They legalized gay marriages in all 50 states. In all 50 states. I think 37 was already, it was legalized. And so 13 states was holding out. And the Supreme Court says, no, all 50 states gonna have gay marriages. And so a lot of pastors and a lot of judges, they are concerned now. They are concerned now. A lot of colleges, they are concerned now. And so the question is how to protect your church in light of gay marriages. Because right after that decision, man, people was lining up at the courthouses all over America. Gays was lining up at the courthouses wanting to get married. Thousands of folks, thousands of gays was lining up that following day, the next week, and they still lining up. They still lining up. And so they're going to start coming to churches. They're going to start coming to churches, and they're going to want churches to marry them. Now, if some gays showed up, if some gay couples showed up at your church with your pastor married them, and let me ask that again, if some gay couples showed up, or a gay couple, it could just be one couple that showed up at your church with your pastor married them, would he marry them? What would he do? What would he do? Because a lot of these couples and stuff, they're coming to churches, and they're going to start coming to churches, and they're going to demand that you marry them. So what can churches do to protect themselves? Well, I ran across an article that I want to share with you today. It's taken out of Charisma Magazine. Yeah, Charisma News. And it was five things churches should do immediately to protect themselves. There's five things churches should do immediately to protect themselves. And so that's what I want to look at. I want to look at these five things. Because, see, the gays are looking at this thing like a human rights issue. And so they're putting it on the same level as a human right issue such as racism. And they are comparing many African Americans, how they had to fight, how African Americans had to fight for their rights in the 50s and 60s. And they say, now we don't want our gay rights. And so just like they had to open up restaurants and things for black people to eat in various restaurants, they says we need to open up the church. And so, but that's really not on the same level. That's really not on the same level. Gay rights and civil rights is not the same thing. See, gays, you had a choice. You being a gay person, you have a choice in being gay. Yeah, God didn't make you that way. God made you male, or he made you female. And he didn't make males to like males, and he didn't make females to like females. No. God didn't do that. You chose to do that, just like a man choose to love a woman and to marry a woman. You choose to marry another man, a man marrying a man. That's a choice. So, but when you, African Americans, we didn't have a choice. We was born that way. Mm-mm. So You can't put that on the same level. But let's look at these five things. The first thing is what churches need to do to protect themselves is, number one, have something in the church bylaws that states that your church will not perform same-sex weddings for members and non-members, but will conduct wedding ceremonies for one man and one woman as biologically designed by birth. And this is to protect against having to perform transgender's wedding between those identifying themselves as a man and a woman. And so you need to put something real, real clear in your church bylaws that state the church will not perform same-sex weddings for members and non-members, but will conduct wedding ceremonies for one man and one woman as biologically designed by birth. Now, did you notice that biologically designed? So, the church is only gonna marry folks that was a man by birth and you are a woman by birth. We ain't no marry somebody that was a man but transgendered, now they're a woman. And so this woman is going to try to marry somebody else, because actually you still got two men's marrying, two men's and two women's marrying each other. So we don't believe in transgender. Let me just put it like that. So, but you need to have that, what that's saying, in your bylaws. You need to put that in the bylaws. And then number two, it says have a stipulation in your church bylaws that say something like, if their congregation is ever legally forced to perform same-sex weddings, all clergy in their congregation will opt out of performing civil ceremonies and will only perform biblically based covenant ceremonies that bless the union between one man and one woman as biologically designed by their natural birth. And so you got to put that in there. They said, like, if their congregation is ever forced to perform same-sex weddings, all clergy in their congregation will opt out of performing civil ceremonies and will only perform biblically based covenant ceremonies. So we're not going to perform civil ceremonies. Civil is dealing with the state. We're only going to perform ceremonies based on the Bible. We're not performing ceremonies based on the state. Civil means more the state. Civil ceremonies is the state. Like, see, the justice of the peace, as long as you got a piece of paper, he'll perform a civil ceremony. A judge will perform a civil ceremony. But we as preachers in the body of Christ, there needs to be something in your constitution that says that we're only going to perform biblically based covenant ceremonies. Biblically based covenant ceremonies that blesses the union between one man and one woman. Because, see, God can't bless that. See, over in the Bible, over in, let me just turn over there, Matthew chapter 19, in Matthew chapter 19, God says, verse number 6, wherefore, okay, verse number Let me just start at verse number 4. And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Now notice what it said. What therefore God has joined together. See, it's got to fit God's requirements in order for God to join them together. There's got to be a man and a woman for God to join them together. Because if they don't measure up to the requirements, then God is not going to join them together. See, just because somebody pronounced, somebody do your wedding for you, whether it's a preacher or whether it's a judge or JP, it don't matter so much what happens on earth. It's what happened in the courtroom in heaven. Yeah, some marriages God did not put together. See, marriages are made in heaven. They are worked out on earth. Did you hear what I said? Marriages are made in heaven. God is the one that joined you together in heaven. So marriages are made in heaven. They are worked out on earth. You got to live them out on earth. But they're made in heaven. And so God is not going to make no homosexual marriages. Did you hear what I said? So that's why you got to have that in your, stipulation, in your bylaws, stipulating that your church perform biblically based covenant ceremonies, not civil ceremonies. Yeah, see, the judge downtown, a lot of time, they just care about upholding the state. Now, I did read an article about one judge has opted out. He said that he's not going to perform any gay marriages because of his conviction. He's a Christian man, and he says that he's not going to perform no gay marriages. So even though he's a civil official, an official of the state, he only believes in covenant, biblically based marriages. And so, but you got to have something in your constitution stating that. Excuse me. All right, number three. Every church need to have clear criteria regarding who qualifies to be a church member based on the biblical standards of morality and ethics, as well as a process for membership termination. Once written, this section of the bylaw should be given and signed off by each person before they are accepted as official church members. And so, like, in other words, he's saying, well, let me just read this again. Every church needs to have clear criteria regarding who qualifies to be a church member based on biblical standards, our morality and ethics, as well as a process for membership termination. All right, let me explain. So he says you need to put it down on paper in your bylaws or somewhere. You need to put it down on paper what qualifies to be a church member. Who qualifies to be a church member? And then show the biblical standards, or show where that's based on in terms of morality and ethics. And so spell it out. If you're, let's say you may want to put in there drunkards, fornicators, adulterers, cannot be members of the church or something like that. Homosexuals cannot be members, or if members are found to practice these things, their membership can be terminated. And so you need to, be specific, because a lot of times churches, they have stuff, but it's not specific. it's just general. It's just general, like the members must adhere to the Bible. Well, that used to work, but I don't think that's going to work now. You're going to have to be a little more specific, because a lot of people, they see the Bible differently. You know, there's even a gay Bible out there. So now you're going to have to say, you know, what Bible are you talking about? Because according to the gay Bible, then they doing, you know, it's acceptable morals. It's acceptable ethics if you're going by the gay Bible. Being gay is okay if you're going by the gay Bible. So you'll have to put it down. What is the requirement for membership, the qualification for membership, and then what's the termination? You know, what kind of moral ethics, immoral behavior can cause you to lose your membership? So you have to put that down. Have to put that down in your bylaws, and then have the members to sign off on it. Have the members to sign off on it. Yeah, I think this is real good. That way they'll know beforehand. And so let's say if somebody signed it and then later on they want you to marry them, you say, wait a minute, you knew what our standard was before you ever, you know, decided that you was going to come on out the closet and be gay. You knew what our standard was because you signed it. And so we got the paperwork to prove that you signed this showing that you believed in having a strict moral ethics, that you would take heed to being sexually inactive, that you wouldn't be sexually active until you got married, and all of these other things, and homosexuality, all of that stuff was outside of our biblical belief. And so and they signed off on it, and so you can use that in your defense. Then number four, let me move on. The church should have a written policy that disallows non-members and non-attendants and or outsiders to rent and or use any of their facilities for same-sex weddings and or civil ceremonies related to marriage. So the church need to have a policy based on showing how they will, who they will rent their building to, who can use their building and who can't use their building. And so that needs to be in writing. That way they won't say, hey, y'all trying to discriminate against us. No, this is our policy. Our policy, and this is for non-members as well as for members. This is for non-attendance. This is for outside renters and all of that. All of that. All right. And then the last thing, if all else fails, the court eventually overrides church bylaws. Then the only alternative left will be for biblically based clergy to engage in civil disobedience and refuse to comply with the law, irrespectively of the penalties, consequences, and culture stigma they will receive. So, if all else fail, if the court says, no, you're going to have to marry these people, then you just have to respectfully let the court know that I won't be able to do it. I won't be able to do it. So, if it means I got to go to jail, I'll have to just go to jail. If it means I have to pay a fine, I have to pay fines. If whatever the consequences are, we are willing to suffer the consequences. You know, I'm reminded in the Bible of one of the first cases of civil disobedience. That was these midwives over here in Exodus chapter 1. There were some midwives when the Israelites, they was having so many babies, and Pharaoh got all nervous because they was having all these babies. God was blessing the Israelites, and I mean, they was being fruitful and they was multiplying. And so there was a Pharaoh that came to the throne that didn't know Joseph. You know, the Israelites had a lot of privileges down there in Egypt when Joseph was alive. But there came a Pharaoh who didn't really know Joseph and didn't have no respect for Joseph and his people. And this Pharaoh began to tell the midwives, I want y'all to kill all of the baby boys. Every baby boy that's born, throw him in the Nile River, throw him in the Nile River. But there was two midwives. The Bible says that Shibra and Pura, both of these two ladies, they was Hebrew midwives. They refused to obey Pharaoh. And the Bible says in chapter 1 of Exodus, verse 17, but the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and have saved the male children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and delivered before the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. See, God blessed the midwives because they feared God more than they feared man. And like Peter says, we're going to have to obey God rather than man. And that's what this thing is all about. If it means that we got to pay fines, we just have to pay fines. If it means we got to go to jail, we just going to have to go to jail. Because we're going to have to obey God rather than man. And I believe that God will bless us at the end. Yes, yes. A lot of times you have to go through at the beginning. But what really matters is the end. And I believe that God is going to bless you in the end. All right, that's it for today in the Situation Room. Thank you so kindly for joining us today in the Situation Room. Let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the Word. And at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. So at 9 o'clock, we're going to take a look in the book. Let you listen to a portion of a sermon I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled, radio drama. It'll make you face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we take a deeper look in the book. Then at 12 o'clock, we missed any of these programs. Guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker about us. Because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room. God bless you. Have a good day.